League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienema. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
DJ Bienema with us in studio from ESPN. I'm Paul Gallant. He's Joe George. It's Gallant and George. DJ and I were having a conversation about cleats off the air.
Yep.
DJ was still going on with that conversation about cleats as we were coming back because DJ wants to get me on his flag football team.
Yep.
Because he needs me.
Need is a strong word. Want is a stronger word. Would like you to join is
a
better.
Do you need a center?
We got our center, but he didn't play last week because he's a boxer. He doesn't live in D.C., but he spent time in D.C. He had to go to D.C. for a boxing match. But we'll get him back this week. We need him.
Okay.
We lost last week,
all right,
unfortunately.
Well, if you ever need someone to snap the ball, DJ, just, you know,
you're
let
the
me
alternative.
Know.
I'll think about it. I'll have my people call your people.
that's less than convinced. All right. Well, DJ, we were both together at Texans practice on Sunday. I wasn't able to go today. They changed the schedule this week. Let's start with the preseason game first. I was really happy about what I saw from the defensive line on Friday night, specifically Danielle Hunter.
Yeah. No, I mean, again, almost had a sack on a screen. That's hard to do and actually got a sack. So that was good to see. The D-line was obviously tenacious, getting upfield. So some of the things that we saw in camp, it translated into an actual game. Just their overall physicality, like their ability to just drive off the ball, get upfield, things of that nature, fly around. They look fast. And that's one thing that we always hear the phrase, swarm. But they actually did look like they were swarming around. And if you can play with that intensity, play after play after play, you'll be able to be in a lot of football games because you'll be able to make enough plays. And again, on the opposite side, when you have what they have on offense, if your defense you just swarm, be physical, control the line of scrimmage, you'll be able to win a lot of games.
Are there any guys on defense that stood out to you, Bullock or any of the defensive linemen, Mario Edwards, from that game?
Yeah. Bullock really stood out to
me. That pick that he had.
Yeah.
I mean, it was out of bounds, but there was a pick.
Right, yeah. Yeah, nah, that was beautiful to see. I'm not going to lie, because he necessarily wasn't in the middle of the field, but he was kind of to the left hash and then zoomed over there. And the fact that he was even able to even make it 50-50 was, I'm like, oh, no, he has some serious range.
I'm curious about where he's at in practice now, because I thought it was interesting on Sunday he was working at practice with the first team. Now, it was because Jalen Petrie was moved up to the nickel position, but after practice, D'Amico was so complimentary of the rookies, Lassiter, who was back at practice today, Cade Stover, and on top of that, Bullock. I am curious how much Bullock can perhaps, from now until the start of the regular season, fight his way into getting actual playing time defensively.
Today, he was running more mainly with the twos, okay. But I am curious because the safeties right now is Jimmy and Eric, and they obviously have Petrie the nickel. So can Bullock find a way to usurp Eric Murray? And I think, you know, we're getting closer to that by about an hour, in all honesty. Because, Eric is obviously, he's a solid, sound football player. He's going to be where he needs to be. Understands the scheme, things of that nature. So when do you finally hand the keys off to Bullock? Is it when he has the scheme down to where you know he's not going to make any, bonehead plays where it's a busted coverage? Because that's really what the difference is. Can you count on Bullock to not allow, give up explosive? With Eric Murray, from what I've seen throughout camp, he's where he needs to be consistently. He's not going to make that many plays, but he's a solid football player. And for me, it's all right, whenever Bullock catches up in terms of the cerebral aspect, then you kind of go with him over Eric.
Has there been any change in your view to the cornerback two position? Lassiter's been out for a week. He's back today. Is there anyone that, you know, gained ground to win that spot, or is he going to be the other starting corner?
Yeah, I think the ground that was gained was like if, you know, Usain Bolt, he was running 200 and like let them kind of get like a little like 3 meter head start and still won by like, you know, 50 meters. That's kind of what that is. Like, it's such a wide gap. And yeah, he did miss some time, but so did Jeff Okuda. Jeff Okuda missed just as much time, if not more, than Kamari. So for me,
it's over.
It's been over. It's been over since minicamp for me.
Yeah, I remember we talked about it at the very beginning, and yeah, I was stunned that it was over that quickly.
Yeah.
Is it more about Lassiter than the other guys?
Combination of both. Lassiter is good though. He's good. And again, like if it's even, you just go with the younger guy who's cost effective for the next 3-4 years. But also, like, he's just better than the other two options. And again, Jeff Okuda could have maybe, but he's missed time. So he could have possibly made it a competition, but he missed time, and that's kind of that, you know? Like, Kamari just came back today. Jeff Okuda's still out. I think he has, like, a hip injury or something. So kind of is what it is. It's wrapped up. It's Kamari's show. So we'll see how that goes when the season gets here.
Well, so on the other side, we saw CJ and Tank connect for the touchdown. We'll start with the good stuff first.
Yeah.
What did you see from the offense in the two series the starters gave from us in the preseason game?
Yeah, I mean, again, like, especially on that third down, it's 39, and it goes for a 34-yard touchdown. It just shows that you can't run basic coverages against this offense because they're going to be able to pick it apart. You're going to have, like, this year is going to really be about which DCs can confuse Bobby the most. Because if Bobby's able to stay ahead of you, with CJ and those weapons, it's going to be, you can forget about it. So it's really going to come down to which DCs can throw enough confusing actions at them and then hope that the defensive line can get to CJ. So that's what's going to come out to me for now. Because, again, like, it's funny. It's kind of looking like last year where CJ kind of started slow. The offense started slow, and now they've started to pick it up. Like, today, CJ looked incredible. Yeah, there was one throw where I was just like, it's probably less than 5 guys that can make that throw. Maybe, like, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, maybe Geno Smith, because Geno Smith can make some really, really crazy passes. And that's about it. There's one pass, like, down the sideline. Tank ran a corner out right in front, right over the cornerback, in front of the safety, only in one spot where Tank can get it, where, like, Tank couldn't jump up for it because if he jumped over, it would be incomplete because, you know, they broke it up. It had to be where Tank couldn't necessarily move. It was literally like a 30-yard handoff. That's what it looked like. So now CJ starting to like really roll, and it's kind of made me think like I'm gonna have to, you know, revisit my divisional pick.
Already?
I might, you know, the offense has been looking good, so I'm gonna have to revisit that. I might have to revisit that pick.
I like hearing that the offense is catching up because I haven't really been able to catch many of the practices. It was great to see that throw that Stroud made to Dell, and Dell, what he was able to do after the catch.
Yeah.
Like confirmation that Dell, especially with the punt return to play before, that he's back. So we all feel good about the passing game right now. DJ Bien-Aimé of ESPN, Houston Texans beat reporter with us in studio. I want to shift to talking about the running game. Mm-hmm. I actually asked D'Amico on Sunday, why was the running game struggling? And he brought up blocking at the second level. Damian Pierce was the running back that got the first work in Friday's preseason game. Joe Mixon is back at practice. Is Pierce in trouble here? What did you think about the way that he looked? I honestly thought that he was completely, because I think a lot of people are wondering whether or not, hang on, DJ. There's a lot of guys, whether this is fair or unfair, I don't think it's fair, that are coming after Damian Pierce because what they saw on Friday was more of the same. Damian Pierce isn't doing anything. Joe, explain what you thought about Damian Pierce.
My view on it was, you look at the four carries, it's only 4 carries.
Yeah.
But he only gets 4 yards. Where I just feel like when I watch Cam Akers or Gumbo Wale, they just seem to even just be able to fall forward an extra 2 yards.
Okay.
And get something. It feels like Pierce just runs in to the defensive lineman, and he, if it's not perfect,
he can't go anywhere
with it. And I'm just like, what's the value of a guy when your offensive line is not good on the interior right now during these preseason games and practices and last season?
How can
you really have a guy back there that doesn't have any explosiveness like we're seeing from the other guys?
Okay, that's fair. So when you said trouble, I thought, like, do you think he's going to get cut?
No, I think it's a little bit like Is it possible at all?
He's not getting cut. No, he's not getting cut.
I don't think they can because of the talent.
Yeah,
He might not be a scheme fit, but I feel like the tape that he's put on, someone's going to trade for him.
Someone pick him up and, you know.
If this doesn't work
out. So, I think all fair concerns, the only context I'll give is, you know, no Laramie. No Shaq, no Titus.
I thought he had no chance on Friday.
Too. Yeah, exactly. You know,
some of those plays, I watched some of them back. I need to watch more of them back because you actually can watch all 22 of the preseason. I just found that out yesterday. Did not know that was a new thing. But I felt like there were a couple of runs where, I mean, he was screwed from the beginning.
No matter
what the zone scheme was, I don't know what he could have done with that.
Yeah, no, I won't really do too much judging in that aspect. I mean, again, like Laramie, when he was back on, what was that, Sunday? When Damian ran behind Laramie, it was two of his best runs of all camp. But I think that's fair because even today, like, you know, Joe Mixon was back, got some carries. It wasn't like he was going crazy. So I think it might just be might be an issue in terms of just run blocking for the entire unit. So we'll see. Obviously it's early because even today, like, it's not like they had most of their horses on the D-line practicing today. Today was kind of like a tapered day for the D-line per se. And there weren't that many big runs from the first team offense. So I think that just might be, but I get what you're saying, Joe, about like how Cam Akers, like, you can see a little bit more. But to be fair, Cam has gone against, you know, like
fourth string guys.
Right, guys that might be selling insurance in like a month. Or doing radio.
You can play kiss my ass. Could be playing on our flag football team. We can shoot high.
You should be recruiting, DJ.
Yeah, but, well, you're right. I should be recruiting.
Okay, so the unfortunate news on Sunday, we saw some guys return. We saw first off Joe Mixon, second off Laramie Tunsil, and we did see Christian Harris return for a second.
Yeah.
And then Christian Harris limped off the field. What's going on here?
Yeah. I think it's like a calf issue, but
is it the same issue based off of what you understand as that he was dealing with before?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like,
well, that's at least good. It's not something new, but now you wonder what the hell that is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see when he gets back. I mean, because like so much of his game is predicated on athleticism. Like, he's not one of those guys that's, you know, there's no knock on him. He's only third year. He's not going to be able to solely win off of his mind. Some guys can. So like, he thrives off of being able to, you know, read and react at a very, very, because he's a freakish athlete. Like, some people think like he's like a top five athlete on the team. So, him being out isn't great. I think Jake Hansen's replaced him / Henry Toto. So we'll kind of see how that looks. But I do think with this defensive line and Aziz, they'll be able to like withstand losing Christian Harris. Aziz has been an absolute maniac throughout camp, so that's good.
If Christian Harris is out, is that the one spot that, like, when cut day happens, you think they look at a veteran to bring in to replace him, or is it safety or corner? Like, what's like the free agency need that they could address somehow still this offseason?
Just keep adding on that. Just keep adding to the O-line. Just keep adding to
you
the
O-line. You want the O-line
line.
Done.
We talked about
that last week.
Yeah, because, like, again, like, if you bring in a linebacker, you know, that's not even moving, like, that's not moving the needle at all. Like, I don't even think that gets you a win in a quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, same if you bring in like a corner, unless like that corner is like Stephon Gilmore. You know what I'm saying? Like a guy like that, right? But there's nobody out there right now, outside of like maybe like Justin Simmons, you know.
It's crazy that he's still unsigned.
Yeah. I've heard that he just doesn't participate in camp.
Oh, okay. Understandable.
Yeah. So I guess money / that. So
the Quandre Diggs deal though, 1 year, $5 million.
Max.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, safety reset. Bargain.
Yeah, no, safety reset. The safety, you know, the market has been reset a little bit where it kind of be depreciated. But again, like, I don't think there's nobody that you bring in like that's going to like move the needle in terms of wins and losses or even like winning a quarter if it's at a linebacker spot or a backup safety spot. Me is spend that money on the offensive line, continue to add pieces there. Because think about all the injuries that they had last year on the offensive line. Imagine they did, even though some of the guys weren't good and some of the guys hurt, imagine they didn't trade for Josh Jones or they didn't trade for Kendrick Green or if they didn't sign Shaq Mason or if they didn't. Like, cause they invested a lot on the offensive line, you know. I remember they even, because there was 1 week, I think it's the Steelers, they brought in Gerard Christian back and they started him along with Austin Deculus. And they, so like, they both rotating. But, like, again, like, that gave them a chance to, like, keep CJ upright. Because for me, it's all about keeping CJ upright and having as much resources invested there as possible.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He is DJ Bien-Aimé, Houston Texans beat reporter for ESPN. How much more do you expect to see the starters in this upcoming preseason game Saturday against the Giants?
I would assume a half. Because I remember last year in the second official preseason, well, the second actual preseason game at the Hall of Fame game, obviously. Texans, again, I think it was against the Dolphins. The offense played a half. I think CJ led them to like 3 points. But, you know, you saw some good things in that, and we obviously saw that show itself throughout the season. But I think a half. And then you shut them down for the rest of the offseason. Let's get ready for week one at Indianapolis. Mm-hmm.
What is the, like, what's your view on the wide receiver room? Because there's going to be some cuts that happen. It seems tough.
It's the deepest position group, I would assume, with actual consequences, right? Because defensive line, there's a lot of guys you feel like they're all going to be there. Wide receiver, who's on the bubble?
I think Mechie's on the bubble.
John Mechie, interesting.
Yeah, he's on the bubble. It hurts my heart to say that. Yeah, he's on the bubble for sure.
What's the reason, in your opinion, based off of what you've seen?
I think he's lost a little bit of confidence. You know, because again, like, he hasn't played to the standard that he thinks he should be playing at since 2021, right? December 2021. We're in 2024. That's a long time, you know? Obviously, you know, things out of his control that, like, kind of threw that off. But, yeah, it's more of a – I remember, like, there was a walkthrough practice last week, and he was dropping so many passes. Mm. It was a walkthrough practice. And for me, that indicated, okay, no, he's losing his confidence. Because routine, some routine catches, he's just dropping. And it's like, all right. Because, again, I've been a receiver. I know what it's like when you lose your confidence. It ain't fun. Because, again, like, if your only thing you got to do is catch the ball, and you're struggling with that. I remember right after practice, he stayed and caught extra passes, things of that nature. But for him, I think it's just more of a mental thing right now, just trying to get over a mental hurdle. So I think he's on the bubble, unfortunately. I wonder if Robert Woods can fight to stay on the roster now.
Feels like he's had some help because, yeah, Xavier Hutchinson, I felt like, hasn't really gone a lot further than maybe where he was supposed to be about a week and a half ago.
Right.
Ben Skowronek's been making one-handed catches in practice a lot, and they traded for him, so that probably helps him, but who knows.
Yeah, Noah Brown's been hurt. You could easily put, like, Noah on...
Brown's on the roster, right?
Yeah, he'll be on the roster, but you can, like, put him on, like, short-term IR.
Gotcha. And keep one of these other guys.
Yeah, exactly. So I could see a scenario like that. But man, yeah, nah. So I would say bubble right now is Mech. Ben, obviously. Robert. I still think Hutch makes it because Hutch still gets reps with the ones. He'll get reps with all three, like one, two, and three. But when the twos go out there immediately, like he's getting reps immediately. Like he's usually like that first receiving group that's out there. And that's what makes me concerned for Mechie is like he's no longer in that first group with the second team, which means that he's falling down the depth chart. So obviously, you know, you got your top four. I think Noah will be on it. And now you have just basically like four guys kind of fighting for the last two spots. So
is there any other cuts like you're keeping an eye on? Like the running back room at Cam Akers? Like, what are the other tough decisions that Nick Caserio has?
I would say, I think running back, because, like, you're right. Right, we've seen enough from Cam Akers where we're like, right? And, you know, he could kind of be that fourth running back, and you could get him in there sometimes and maybe just make Damian, you know, your punt returner, because he did that last year, make some plays. Have Joe Mixon in a rotation with Dare and, you know, Cam Akers. So he's for sure the interesting one because he does have the vision. He's played in this system. He's obviously a scheme fit. He's had some success in the NFL. So I think that one I'm really interested to see in that regard. Anybody? I'm actually interested to see, like, is Case Keenum fighting for his job? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
our beloved Coug leader.
Like, he was the fourth quarterback off the bench on Friday.
Yeah, I just assumed he wasn't gonna play.
So I'm curious.
Because he's the longest tenured quarterback in the history of Houston. He's fine. Come on, you guys are haters.
I'm not a hater. I'm just asking.
You know what?
I'm asking a question.
See my pause right now?
You didn't even go to U of H.
Yeah, but I claim them like many bandwagons I've claimed. I claim them.
You're,
the basketball team's good. And yeah.
you're phony. Yeah. That's what phonies do.
That's how you fit in, is you be a phony. That's I call true. It being a chameleon.
You know, sometimes you gotta fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
You see what shirt he's wearing?
Yeah.
So you're wearing it. I want the audience to know. He just said Cougars. He put the Cougar sign while wearing a University of Texas
hat. That's right. Hook him.
Nah, he just did hook him.
Hook him.
This is your radio. This is your radio host, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do what I got to do.
Biggest fraud.
Until I see no changes, can a brother get a little peace? There's war on the streets. There's war in the Middle
East. Sean, what is he talking about? Sean, can you help me? What is he talking about? Please, Sean, I need help. What is he talking about? Sean has nothing. Sean is confused also. Everybody here is confused. There's five people here and everybody's confused except Paul.
I can keep riffing.
Anyway.
You're still going to let him go.
Yeah, no. Understandable. Eventually he'll run out of steam. Understandable, yeah.
He is DJ Bieniemy. DJ, any final thoughts about, first off, I guess, what you've seen this past week, and as we get closer and closer, because I think we're both at the point right now where we're like, let's
get to the games.
Regular season.
Yeah. I texted a group chat today.
Okay. A group chat for?
My friends. And I said, I might have to book my ticket to New Orleans. Yeah. I'm starting to buy into the hype.
You're burying the lead.
Starting to buy into the hype.
Should have come in here from the beginning.
I'm starting to buy into the hype. Okay. One, I think, like, you know, the addition of Stephon Diggs is just going to, ironically, because, you know, right, what he was trending for the last game, quote unquote, looking like a bad team, even though he wasn't. He just has such a, you know, leadership trait where guys like really gravitate towards him, and he's a legitimate good teammate where he's always giving guys pointers and things of that nature to help them be better. And this team has a good blend of guys that have played on teams that were trying to win at the highest level versus, you know, obviously you have a bunch of kids in a sense like CJ, Tank, Nico, et cetera, Stingley. But when you have other guys like a Jimmy Ward who's played in the Super Bowl, Aziz went to the Super Bowl. He went there. Danielle Hunter, I think he was on that Vikings team that went to the NFC Championship game, was on the team that won a division, even they lost to the Giants, et cetera, et cetera. There's just so many, there's enough depth. Foley, the D tackle, Fatukasi. He was on the Jaguars team that broke through, was able to get to the second round. There's just like Joe Mixon, who went to Super Bowl. Like, there's just like that perfect blend of veterans and young guys that they can all mesh together and be able to possibly make a run in the Super Bowl. Again, CJ can make throws that like only a few guys can. And they're going to need that. That's the only way you're going to be able to beat a team that has Patrick Mahomes or some of the quarterbacks in the AFC. You're going to need your weapons to show up, and you're going to need your quarterback to show up. And again, like, CJ is starting to round in the form that I needed to see him in. And it's like, you know, if this continues, we might be looking at a team that legitimate, like, you know, everybody was like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs, you know, they could be the team to compete with the Chiefs. But you still got to see it mesh together, and the way it's meshing,
it
starts to give me hope.
Come on, yeah, yeah.
What?
Say the word.
I can't say they're going to the Super Bowl,
Say the word.
I can't say they're going to the Super Bowl.
No, you don't have to say they're going to the Super Bowl. There's a word. They like to say it all the time. I'm not talking about iron sharpening iron. I'm talking about something else.
Swarm.
Oh, yeah. Oh! You did it.
I think you still got to walk back your AFC South take first.
No, it's fine.
Hey, you can lose the division and still make a run to the Super Bowl. You can do that. You know what I'm saying? I've seen it. I'm just saying.
We know you can, but all right, okay. So I need to tell me if I'm soft or not, okay?
Soft or not, okay. He's probably soft, Sean.
Okay. I know that last year when you came on the B's after Tank Dell got hurt, because of Bobby Slowick.
Because he was blocking.
Because he shouldn't have been out there.
But
was Bobby's
fault. I don't see
100%.
See, thank you.
Good
teammate.
I'm bigger than Tank Dell.
DJ, I'm bigger than Tank Dell. I wish he'd be on a goal line package.
Anyway, go ahead.
I don't want him on punt return. I don't want him to get hurt on punt.
I do think that's soft though.
Like I don't see what the real benefit when you have other guys like Steven Sims and Damian Pierce and There's plenty of people that can do punt return. Why am I risking Tank Dell on punt return?
I don't want Damian Pierce doing punt return. He can't catch.
He can do kick return.
Yeah, but that's different. That's a different type of catch.
Catching a punt.
Steven Sims can do it. Xavier Hutchinson can do it.
Yeah, you do. Okay. So you're not soft.
Okay.
He's not soft. Not
good start.
He's not soft.
Put Dell back out there.
He's not soft.
Not on the goal line.
No, I think that's all fair because, like, you know, like, Steven Sims is clearly, like, a pretty good punt returner. The only issue is, like, the roster construction, right? Like, are you going to keep him active just so he can return punts? But he does get rough with the twos. Mm-hmm. So he might be able to make this team because he does give you special team value and he does get rough with the twos. And there were times where Bobby Slowick was, you know, giving him reverses and things of that nature, even though, you know, he would, you know, had a vision of a bat on a couple of plays, but that's okay. He's a dynamic playmaker if he has the ball in space. So, Joe, you're not soft.
That is DJ Bianima. You can catch his work for ESPN covering your Houston Texans. Texans swarm. DJ, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It is Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around. Some hot Astros takes next.
Kikuchi, now with Arrigetti. Like we're just seeing the starters really elevate their game in a major way. So I think, yeah, we'll see how Kikuchi does tonight. I mean,
but I'm assuming he's going to have a ton of strikeouts again because the Rays' offense is raggedy. Raggedy, raggedy, raggedy. They are not the Rays that are capable of killing the crocodile hunter. These are Rays that you see swimming in that tank at Tropicana Field. The eighth wonder of the world now that the Astrodome's an abandoned.
Now, like, is that like when you go to like an aquarium, can you pet the rays when you're there?
You should try it. See what happens.
I've pet stingrays before.
You have? I didn't know you could pet stingrays.
Yeah, you do it at the aquarium downtown.
Why would anyone trust a stingray after what they did to Steve?
I don't think these ones have like the...
They don't have the stingers? Joe, they don't cut their stingers off.
And they're not as sharp. Like, they're not that specific kind of...
What, you think they put little caps on?
Yeah, I literally have photos of like them like... They give you shrimp and you put it in between your fingers.
Okay.
And you reach your hand in there and they come up and they eat it.
Interesting. Well, I think we are back in the land of the internet because all of a sudden the television that is in studio is flashing shows that we could theoretically watch to stream right now. Hello, everybody. We're not really sure if we went off the air or not this time. I mean, it's a regular occurrence here. Isn't it so fun? Isn't it so fun? It is. Yeah, there was a little bit of a little blick, yeah. Little blicky.
I know the electricity. Because from the 832, can Joe George please do his job and keep the station on the air? It's not my fault.
That is your fault. I'm going to blame you for this.
My ears hurt because there was a pop in my ears. I don't know if you felt that.
I felt something as well.
Yeah, like they. I feel like I got static shocked in my eardrums.
Wow, static shock.
I don't know. I
feel that like is a superhero pull. I know. From the depths.
I'm trying to fry my brain cells, which the little ones I've left. Why, as we've learned from my ability to do math.
Well, no, it's just math. You don't need to do math.
That's true.
If you had done better at math, would you have gone to the Notre Dame?
No.
Cheer for old Notre Dame.
Because like that's really good at math. You have to.
Oh, is that a nerd school? Is that engineer school?
You do calc as a freshman. At Notre
Dame. Oh, ew. Although yeah. I think
you're a football player.
Isn't calculus a high school thing? I say that.
Yes, but it's like the last, at least in my high school, it was like the last step.
Gotcha, okay. I remember when I moved from Massachusetts to Florida, I had to retake classes for math that I had taken at this fancy ass prep school in Massachusetts, again in Florida. So my freshman and sophomore year of high school, they made me retake classes in math that I had already taken.
That sucks. I did that a little bit in college.
I was cool with it because I got A's.
Yeah.
I was totally cool with it. I was like, oh, I don't even have to try.
I did that a little bit in college. When I transferred, like, they made me take some of my classes over again.
Gotcha.
Which I didn't quite understand because I went to, like, an actual school. And then my second school was a liberal art. Was not even a liberal arts school. It was just an art school.
Oh, liberal arts
school. Just a straight art school. Mm. So I was like, why are you making me take math?
Well, it's so that on this day, August 13th, 2024, you would be able to properly give us
the Klongdorp and the X-Woba and the lowercase WRC of the Astros compared to that of the Tampa Bay Rays, because that's how everybody wants their baseball talk these days. You need to give them numbers.
Just like letters and numbers.
Letters and numbers.
That's really where math lost me, I think.
Oh, when the numbers turn to letters? Well, I mean.
So they might have been like, what, like algebra 2?
When you think about it, we're all just numbers and letters, man.
It's true. Or maybe just numbers. It's a simulation.
That's true. 1010111. If we are in a simulation, I might have just broken the code.
So Kikuchi, how many strikeouts tonight? 7?
I'm going to guess Yusei Kikuchi gets 27 strikeouts.
Oh.
Perfect game, 27 strikeout appearance. I like that.
The greatest start in the history of mankind.
I think he will have over 8. Okay. That was the over-under, I believe, for his last start.
It was
right?
6.5.
6.5, okay. And he seemed like he wasn't going to get it, but he did get it. Whatever the over-under is for him tonight, I am taking the over.
Okay.
For whatever reason, the Astros are just in a groove when it comes to getting strikeouts. And the Tampa Bay Rays, who sold all of their parts, strike me as a team that is going to continue to flail and flail and flail.
Yeah, they're a bit lost right now. Mm-hmm. Yusei Kikuchi strikeouts tonight, over-under is 7.5.
Over, baby.
Yeah, I'll take the over.
You say.
I placed a wager on the Astros to win the World Series last night.
You did?
Kind of.
Kind of? Wait a second. Hang on.
I found this wager, which I had never seen before, where you could bet on the state that wins the World Series.
Oh, this is like the Mattress Mack special.
So technically, I get the Rangers in this as well, but it was plus 1,200. For Texas to win the World Series, where the Astros' actual odds are way less than that right now.
Okay.
So I was like, sure. Like, there's like, I'll throw $50 on
this.
Wait,
that makes no sense.
I know.
It's two teams.
But, like, California was, like, very good odds.
Gotcha.
Because, like, this Padres are going to make the playoffs, and the Dodgers are going to make the playoffs, and the Giants could make the playoffs. It was one of the weirdest things. I've never seen this before in my life.
It would be really funny if these websites would take your money. If it was in a state where there's no baseball team, it would be really funny.
Oh, if they just like let you.
Yeah, they like you could still gamble on it. Like, I'm betting on Rhode Island to win the World Series. Oh, look at these odds. They're great. And there's not even a team.
I mean, it's like betting on the Bears to go to the Super Bowl. It's like just throwing your money in the trash. What's the difference?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Did you put money on the Bears?
No.
I'm just saying.
It's been 3 years since I've bet on the Bears.
I mean, Danny Parkins is and Nick Wright. Of Fox Sports 1,
yeah,
part of the Super Syracuse Bowl. Mafia. They're all aboard the Bears,
yeah,
which is insane. But hey, you know what? The long odds, baby. All right, it is Galan and George. I believe we are on the air. In fact, I think we were only off the air for about 10 seconds. So shout out to us. This time, we were ready. Up next, we got a little garbage time. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put.
You're listening to Galant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Last chance to dance, Galant and George. The Astros decided at the trade deadline to go get Yusei Kikuchi, who's on the hill tonight. Some wish that they had signed James Paxton after he was waived by the Los Angeles Dodgers. George is holding up his hand. I was of the opinion that there was a chance he would get hurt, but even I did not see him tearing his calf. That is the official diagnosis of an injury that he suffered, I think, within seconds of his first Red Sox outing.
Yeah, it might have been his second start, but I just feel bad for this guy now.
Partial tear of the right calf muscle. Timetable doesn't look good to return this season.
Yikes.
But Paxton is not ready to give up on the year.
Oh,
I'm all caramba.
The tear, too. Like, I feel like a calf would be not that anything would be like good to tear, but I feel like the calf would be very annoying to deal with.
Oh, yeah. As someone who had plantar fasciitis for a little bit, it feels like
something's wrong with your calf. Every single step, you feel a pain in your calf. It's not coming from your calf. It's coming from the tendon that stretches over the bottom of your foot.
Yeah.
And it being all wonky, out of place. But, yeah, that would suck.
Yeah. I didn't know you had plantar fasciitis. That goes away, too?
No, I wear inserts now.
Oh, okay.
Like a real old. Oh, yeah, dude. It's rough.
You said it, not me.
I'm 35.
You're not old.
There's a lot of gray in my beard, which since I was on Fox 26 this morning, I stubbed it up. We're stub mode.
Oh, so that way. Do they prefer you clean shaven?
No, they don't tell me what to do.
Oh, okay.
I do what I want, but I prefer it. I like to have stubble, but I can't do the beard anymore because it's just there's a little too much white going on in there.
Gotcha.
You know?
I understand.
I want my beard to be black and beautiful.
You could dye it.
I'm not going to do that.
Why?
It's stolen valor.
Yeah. I think there's anything wrong with that.
Stolen valor.
You can dye your beard, make it a little, you know, just go full, make sure it's colored in all the way. You'll be fine. No one will know.
No, everyone would know. I've told everybody.
That's true.
I've told everybody on the air right now. There's no way to go here. All right. So, yeah, Astros and Rays tonight. You got Yusei Kikuchi on the hill. See if the offense is able to keep up what they have been doing. 35 runs in their last five games. Five straight multi-home run games, which is pretty crazy because they had only done that five times in their previous 29 games. And everything's looking up. So you can feel chesty about the Astros as we get closer and closer to the end of this road trip and then a little date with the Chicago White Sox. All right, it's that time. Let's hit a little garbage time before we get out of here for the Killer Bees.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Patrick Beverly is now playing basketball in Israel. We have said of Patrick Beverly, the man understands the game. We're not necessarily talking about basketball anymore. We're talking about podcasting. As Sean Mapes once said, always be podcasting. Throw a ball at a fan, talk about it on the podcast. Celebrate winning a play-in game like it's winning the NBA championship.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it on the podcast. Random member of the media is interviewing you and you're bored? Screw it. Say, I'm not answering your question until you subscribe to my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The reporter should have just subscribed to the podcast on the spot there. I thought this was a fake tweet when I first saw it because there is a account on Twitter called @NBACentel that often tweets out fake quotes. So I looked this up. This apparently happened on the Patrick Beverly podcast, hosted by Patrick Beverly and Roan, with new episodes Wednesdays across all platforms. Not all Jewish people are cheap. The guy that gave me this contract, he was pretty generous. That's Patrick Beverly on the Patrick Beverly podcast per @NBACentral.
I mean, that's his opinion. He's probably right, you know.
There's another quote that is attributed to him. If a bomb goes off, I'm gone. Patrick Beverly on playing in Israel. Well, that makes sense. I kind of agree with that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd want to get out.
You got to have a plan when you go. I'm surprised he did that. Like, he's going to Israel to play. I know he turned down contracts from the Rockets. He must have got a pretty penny, to be honest, to go and actually do this. Mm-hmm. Because it was the Rockets, and then there was one other team. I feel like it might have been the Suns, who apparently talked to him about playing in the NBA next season. He said no. But hey, he's still going to be doing his podcast.
He has a freedom that we do not. What was that?
He's still going to do his podcast.
Yeah.
Even though he's going to be in Israel.
Yeah.
So it's not going away. So we'll still get more Patrick Beverly content.
No, I'm excited about that. Always be podcasting out there. Always be on YouTube. @ESPN Houston on YouTube. And by the way, make sure that you are liking the videos that you like as we get to the final four of our Rock the Mic competition. Speaking of YouTube, a YouTube channel is suing Michigan State. Why? Well, before a game this past football season on their Jumbotron, they featured a quiz. A quiz that included a question about, get this, Adolf Hitler. The question that they asked was, what country was Adolf Hitler born in? The answer that they gave, complete with a graphic that they showed on the Jumbotron at Michigan State, was Austria. And here's what's even funnier, because this happened against Michigan in October of 2023. The Quiz Channel, a YouTube channel that posts trivia and quizzes, has sued the university, claiming the question appeared to match a Hitler-related question from an October 13th episode. The operator of the Quiz Channel and its owner filed a lawsuit August 9th in Grand Rapids, Michigan, claiming the university engaged in copyright infringement and invasion of privacy. The Michigan State Board of Regents has been named as defendants. I gotta say, I feel like these YouTubers can go kick rocks, because that is a totally fair question for any trivia.
I guess, like, the question is it a straight rip? Like the graphic and everything, is it identical? Because the way they portrayed the story originally was kind of that it was straight up stolen.
The initial, like, CYA from Michigan State was basically, we just played a YouTube video on our scoreboard that just so happened to have a Hitler question in the middle of it. And so if they are just playing the YouTube video off their channel, the YouTube channel has kind of a case, I guess.
They gave that YouTube channel more publicity in that one day.
But they stole their IP. They stole their intellectual property.
The graphic for it is on the Jumbotron. For that channel, it's on the Jumbotron.
That's the toughest part.
I mean, listen, it doesn't necessarily make Michigan State look good, but this is the most publicity they've ever gotten. It was before a Michigan State game. You're big in Michigan because of the Spartans.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't quite get why they're suing. 97.5.
Thanks, voice guy.
Okay. I don't know quite why they're suing for, like this is...
It's because money, Joe. Money. Like, that's why everybody sues.
Yeah, I guess. But like,
that's why people wear neck braces after car accidents. Mm. Money.
It's a good point.
Not because their neck hurts.
Yeah, they got the publicity. Now they want the money. Because they realize, oh, this publicity isn't all that.
Yeah, this YouTube channel probably makes bleep.
We're asking where Hitler was from.
Yeah. I mean, we're desperate.
We run a quiz channel where they ask where Hitler's from.
What's your guys' guess here? The quiz channel, YouTube
Austria,
followers.
That's my guess.
How many
subscribers
do you think
I'm going to guess 30,000.
Yeah, they have to be pretty big for Michigan State to find it. So yeah, I'll go 25.
212,000.
Wow.
Am I supposed to be impressed by that?
I mean.
Oh, whoa. We posed questions. So original. Wow. Questions that they probably stole from something else.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is like.
You get a copyright to a question?
It is a trivia question.
You can't own a trivia question.
Yeah. Like, that's why I don't know what the copyright is, besides their logo and you're copyrighting the graphic.
Yeah, or it's just you're playing our stuff for free.
But the question, they don't own the question.
They don't own the fact that Hitler is born in Austria. No. I think Hitler owns that fact. And Austria owns that fact.
Anyway, guys. That's the way the cookie crumbles, as they say.
Great movie. Bruce Almighty.
Is that from that movie?
Yeah. What a curveball. That's not where that saying got
no,
introduced.
That's what I think of when I say.
I mean, that's why I know that saying. Yeah. But anyway, guys, on that note, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Just letting it breathe a second time. What? What?
Nothing.
What, Joe? Don't sue me for copyright infringement. That's going to wrap up today's Galan and George episode. Big thanks to DJ Bien-Aimé. Big thanks to Sean Mapes. Big thanks to Joe George. I am merely Paul Galan. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.